The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Let us pray. Most Holy Christ, speak to us today. May we have ears to hear. Amen.
Amen.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. This is perhaps the most well-known, most recognized, most used line of Scripture. I would argue it's also one of the most misunderstood, maligned, and misinterpreted as well. As one great commentator and many scholars agree, it is therefore a prime example of how we Christians cherry-pick Scripture to get something we want to say instead of what was most likely being actually said. You may remember some years ago, and still now occasionally, you would see this verse scribbled on a poster board and held up at pro and college football games. It was somewhat of a movement, as if someone seeing this sign on Fox Sports or ESPN or live in a stadium would somehow be converted to following Christ by just gazing upon the poster. Never mind that for many, they had no idea what the verse was and absolutely no inclination to go look it up. Some not even understanding what it was, what it meant, where to go look for it in the first place. Had they, I'm not sure they would have gotten it either. As I'm trying to make the point, we insiders, for the most part, don't. We have also seen it as graffiti on subway walls and billboards, citing the mere verse as it is. Or even if you go ahead and fill in the actual words that I quoted above, none of those approaches takes into account the truth that this was just a part of a discourse, one small part of a longer and larger conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus. Today, on this Holy Cross Sunday, I would like to try as best I can to break that down and to break this up, if you will. I know you know that sometimes I just get up here to get things off my chest. And that's going to happen today. Some of you have heard me say before that Scripture can be looked at two ways, as a window and as a mirror. If I've said that to you before, then I have most surely also said with that, that most of the time, Christians tend to major in looking at it as a window. Meaning we peer at the Scripture as if a window into history long gone and more or less irrelevant for us now, if we admitted it. Far less, I would argue, than a very big miss do we view it as a mirror. I tell you all that today to say simply, we do the same thing with the cross. We use the cross to peer into history, the story of Jesus, the death of Jesus, and very rarely, if ever, do we view it as a mirror. But today, I'd argue you should, or perhaps, since I do hate shooting on people, I'll shoot on myself. I'm going to urge you to consider using it that way as a mirror. If you go to the Episcopal Church official website and look up Holy Cross Sunday, you'll find this definition and description of it. And I quote, "A major feast observed on September 14th in honor of Christ's self-offering on the cross for our salvation. The collect for Holy Cross Day recalls that Christ was lifted high upon the cross that he might draw the whole world unto himself, and prays that we who glory in the mystery of our redemption may have grace to take up our cross and follow him. The feast is known as the Exaltation of the Holy Cross in the Eastern Church and in missals and sacramentaries of the Western Church, and it's known as the Triumph of the Cross in the Roman Catholic Church. It was one of the 12 great feasts in the Byzantine liturgy. And the 1979 Book of Common Prayer is the first American prayer book to include it in the prayer book. I'm partial to it because my ordination as a bishop was on September 15th, 2007, tomorrow being the 18th anniversary of that date, and we use this feast, Holy Cross Day, transferred on that day. I've always been very thankful for that. If we look at the totality of this scripture given to us, as we see this mention of as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, if you don't know what John is referring to here, I would argue you can't know what he goes on to say here, which includes the famous line of John 3:16. This line about a serpent comes from Numbers 21 in the First Testament. And in that story, poisonous serpents, literally fiery serpents, have been let loose in the camp of Israel as punishment for the people's grumbling and unfaithfulness. The story tells us that the serpents bite the Israelites and many people die. Desperate, the people repent and ask Moses to talk to God on their behalf. Moses does so, and God commands Moses to raise up a bronze serpent for the people to look at. When they gaze upon this lifted serpent, the people that were poisoned live. In other words, they look in the mirror of the very thing that attempts to take their life, and in turn it becomes the very thing that heals and saves them. John uses this analogy to say the cross is the same. It's been said by many, and I agree with this statement so much, you can't heal if you don't know you're sick. The cross is not there to simply say, believe in this, and you will have eternal life. Instead, the cross is there to help us to see that we share in the violence, fear, and division in the world. It's a mirror for us to peer into and see our part in all that afflicts the world. The horrible events of this past week, and for many past weeks, quite frankly, are not something that happens apart and away from us if we look at the cross as a mirror. The cross, then, is supposed to be not a comforting symbol at all times, or at the very least, not at first, but also a challenge and a conviction of our part in the fact that it exists at all. It's a mirror designed to reveal how we, you and I, play into the very human tendency to demean, violate, and destroy our world. Since last week, and for a few weeks to come, we have been using a new Eucharistic prayer and a new liturgy that comes from some supplemental text called Enriching Our Worship. In the confession of sin that we are reading this prayer every Sunday, this is how it goes, and I quote, "God of all mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you, opposing your will in our lives. We have denied your goodness in each other, in ourselves, and in the world you have created. We repent of the evil that enslaves us, the evil we have done, and the evil done on our behalf." These words, I feel, truly outline what we should see when we look upon the cross as a mirror. And even more, and most importantly, that these things are what we have to see first in order to repent and then move to salvation that comes through the cross. In short, I might say, we can't jump over the confession part, the conviction part, the complicity part, the very human part. We can't jump over or dismiss or forget that we are part of the problems. We can't get well if we don't ever acknowledge we are sick. But once we do acknowledge and own that, we can find our way to the salvation and eternal and abundant life the cross offers. I might say it this way, John 3:16 alone, just alone, with nothing else, is kind of cheap grace. Misrepresented and misinterpreted as this, it becomes a deadly shortcut to salvation, leaving out the very necessary owning of our complicity in the evil of the world, which is not comforting or easy or fun. But it is completely necessary, I believe, to know the fullness of the great gift of salvation and eternity offered through the sacrifice of Jesus by the capital punishment of the cross. Or, as I have said to you before, the good news is almost always bad before it's good. You have to encounter the darkness of the valley before you can reach the mountain. The gospel for today from John might be rewritten just a bit to make this a little clearer. Maybe it would say this: no one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent as a mirror to the people in the wilderness so that they might recognize their complicity in their illness and also their way toward wholeness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up as a mirror to those who wish to follow, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. For indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Look at the cross. See yourself. Let it be a mirror, not a window. Now that I've gotten all that off my chest, may I say to you, Happy Holy Cross Day. My beloved, I've said these words to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.